Welcome everyone to That SEC Podcast. This is episode number 20. I am Cody McClure, joined by Michael Brown, SEC Mike, coming at you here for to get the weekend started. This is our first podcast of the week. We didn't get the early week podcast out early. So this episode, we're just kind of combining everything. So we'll talk about some game lines again. Also get to some predictions for this week. See games. Should be a fun slate of games to talk about. Mike, how are you doing this week?
Hey, I'm doing good, Cody. And, you know, it was interesting. You know, one of our earlier episodes, we were talking about Florida fans giving me some death threats. And seeing in the news, I'm not the only ones. You know, it sounds like Jim McElwain's getting some death threats. I thought, whether that's true or not, that's what he says. But I thought that was one of the most odd things to happen this week in the SEC.
Just a whole bunch of killers down there in Gainesville. just trying to take you down. They're going to try to take you down with McElwain. So hopefully, it was a crazy story with McElwain and then from the University Athletic Association was weird, and McElwain came out and kind of tiptoed around it. Just a weird situation.
Yeah, and it seems, you know, obviously, you know, from what I've seen, the fans are not really bought into McElwain. And then if it's true that they're threatening him or his family, I mean, clearly that's got to be an uncomfortable situation for him. He's losing all these games. You know, they're going to be 3-4 if they lose to Georgia. It's one thing if the fan. I think fans everywhere are a bit crazy, especially in the SEC. But you know, rarely do you see the program itself kind of call out a coach, and that's pretty much what Florida did with their statement, essentially saying, you know, we talked to McElwain about this and got no information. And I thought that was a pretty damning statement.
Yeah, too. It was an interesting way to start off the week, for sure, with that situation. And then, of course, you know, just the saga continuing here in Knoxville as well with the Tennessee stuff and the Butch stuff, the groomer stuff, all that kind of. If anything, maybe it's died down a little bit this week, or I would kind of tend to say that. But now that I think fans know that Butch is, there's just a lot of apathy at this point.
Yeah, and I was surprised. We'll get into the lines in a moment, but I was surprised that Kentucky is the favorite in that game, which I expected. But you know, I thought there would be a little bit more outrage, and it's kind of like you said, the perfect word there is apathy. It just seems like Tennessee fans are basically over the season at this point. You know, anytime I get called on the radio, people don't really want to talk about the Kentucky game. They want to talk about who's going to be the coach next. So it just seems like the eye is already towards 2018 in Knoxville and a couple other places. So it's just strange that the calendar is not even till November and we're talking about the next season.
It is strange. And you know about this the other day, Mike. I don't know if I've ever been around a season that was hopeless this bad. You know, because you think back to the, you know, 08, people expected Tennessee to be pretty good, and eventually they trailed off. Eventually Philip Fulmer got fired. But you think about even 2012 under Derek Dooley, people expected Tennessee to be good. Came in as a top 25 team. Game day was in town for the Florida game. Eventually it turned bad. But this year, just the whole thing, it's just been a stagnant, just ugly, awful. I mean, really the only good memories Tennessee fans have, and I don't even know if you can call it that good, but the Georgia Tech game, you got to win there. But other than that, just an awful, terrible football season, and a lot of people have doubt. But and of course, Knoxville, not the only place that's going on. You're seeing some similar things. We talked about heat on McElwain right now, and also Arkansas, school we haven't mentioned, Brett Bielema. They are in a situation now where they're getting play Ole Miss this weekend. And before we get into predictions, you got any initial thoughts on that game? The fact that Ole Miss will be without their quarterback, Shea Patterson.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough game to read because, you know, as you noted, Shea Patterson's out, and obviously Austin Allen, I don't think he's officially declared out at this point, but I don't think anyone is expecting him to play. And Cole Kelly, in my mind, took a step backwards last week against Auburn. He looked terrible. So this is two teams desperate for a conference win, both trotting out backup quarterbacks, and both kind of spinning their wheels at the moment. It's a tough game, and it's one that Arkansas, they really need to win this, because if they don't, I think there's a realistic chance they're looking at an 0-8 SEC season. And if you're Brett Bielema in your fifth season in Fayetteville, I just don't know how you can be brought back after a winless SEC campaign.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, this one, it could end up being winless, because outside of this game, and I guess you could point to the Missouri game, I think Mississippi State is quite a bit better than Arkansas. So, I don't think they're beating them. I don't think they're beating LSU. Maybe do or die time, because by the time you get to that Missouri game, you might be in a situation where, you're not going bowling, don't even have a chance, and nobody cares.
Yeah,
And I don't think that team's going to a bowl anyway.
no, at this, I mean, they have to beat Ole Miss to have any kind of chance of that. So, and as we'll get into, I don't like their chances to do it.
No, I don't either. So I guess you want to start off talking about some of these lines, since we didn't get to the early week podcast. So we could go ahead and talk about the lines for this weekend.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start with that Arkansas Ole Miss game. So that's at Ole Miss, and I thought the opening line would be -2 in favor of Ole Miss. You said Ole Miss -3.5, and it opened at Ole Miss -4. So you got the opening one on there.
Yeah, and that line, I noticed it was, well, the last I saw it had moved down a tad. I don't know what to think about that game, because ultimately I would take Ole Miss to cover if it had Shea Patterson at quarterback. But the fact that Ole Miss doesn't have him playing in this game, it just, to me, I don't know what to think about it. I don't know much about the backup there. And to me, he was kind of their main weapon. Now, their receivers, they still have very good receivers. A.J. Brown and those guys on the perimeter, very good, very talented. But I do wonder, just a real head scratcher on this one for me.
Yeah, and I've butchered some quarterbacks' names in the past, so I'm going to try to butcher this guy's name right now. His name is Jordan Teyamu, is how I'm going to say that. But he's a Hawaiian.
Do you think he says it like that? Teyamu.
I don't think he does. No,
Well,
but
hey, you did your best.
I saw obviously I saw him play a little bit against LSU last week. He didn't throw a touchdown, but he had two impressive drives, including a touchdown drive. I'm trying to recall. There was another game this season. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but he's not a guy that has not played for Ole Miss. They bring him in. He comes in around the goal line. He's kind of like a poor man's Nick Fitzgerald. So he's got some running ability, and he's kind of hit or miss when he throws the ball, but if they can utilize him, and as you mentioned, they got some really good receivers. If they play to his strengths, those receivers should help him out. They have an emerging tight end I really like. I think they're going to be able to score some points. Arkansas's defense is just struggling right now. So I like Ole Miss in this game by 2 touchdowns. I'm saying Ole Miss 27, Arkansas 13.
Oh man, okay. I like Ole Miss to win too. You told me he's a poor man's Nick Fitzgerald, and that's all I need to hear, because Arkansas can certainly lose to a poor man's Nick Fitzgerald. Look, I think it's a pretty evenly matched game. It's in Oxford. I think that Arkansas is. I really do think Arkansas is atrocious. I think they have a lot of problems, particularly in the second half. And now they've come out strong in some first halves, but I think eventually Ole Miss will just get the job done in this game. I think Ole Miss probably by a touchdown. I think Ole Miss come to cover that line, but I don't think it'll be a 2-touchdown game personally. I think it'll be fairly close, but I'll give Ole Miss the win. Probably low scoring, probably something like a 24-17.
One thing we forgot to mention about Arkansas, They also lost their center, Frank Ragnow. He actually was playing guard the last two games, I believe. He's their best player, and he's been a guy that's has consistently been challenging his teammates. Now, obviously, they haven't really been living up to anything after he's done that, but that's also got to be devastating. Their best player's out, quarterback's out. They obviously lost Rolly Williams in the preseason. So kind of like the heart and soul of that offense is no longer on the team. And there's just no hope for that team at the moment in my mind.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I think Ole Miss has a better trajectory going into this one.
Okay, the second SEC game is this should be a good one. Georgia versus Florida, and there's obviously in Jacksonville. It's a 3:30 kickoff on CBS. I thought the line would open at Georgia minus 18. You said Georgia minus 9.5, and it actually opened at Georgia 14.5. So I got that one right.
Yeah, you were a lot closer there. I didn't know what to think about that. I thought it was maybe I knew favor the fact that defense is still decent, and I think people there's still some respect out there for Florida's defense. I didn't think it would be a double digit line, but the fact that it came in at 14, not shocked to me because Georgia will win the game by 14. I like Georgia to cover this game.
Yeah, and there was an article, I think you may have written it. I know someone at Saturday Down South did, but so this is the biggest line in favor of Georgia in this series, as far as anyone can tell. And
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not surprised at all. But just what we've seen from Florida, they're an abysmal team at this point. I mean, they struggle to score. I think Georgia, everyone. The numbers say that Alabama's a better defense, but I think this Georgia defense is better. I just don't see how Florida's going to score that many points. Georgia's got enough on, they're very balanced on offense. I think people are selling Jake Fromm short. That was a big reason why I was not very high on Georgia coming into the year, because I was not a big Jacob Eason fan, and we just didn't know what we'd get out of Jake Fromm. But what I've seen from him, I mean, I think he's basically the future of this conference, a quarterback. He's that good, and I don't think he'll have any problem with this Florida defense.
Yeah, Georgia comes into this game better just about everywhere. And the big problem here, Mike, as you know, I don't know that Florida score any point. And so I still like Florida's defense to contain the Georgia running game a little bit. I think they'll keep it respectable, keep Georgia probably in the 20s. But with that said, I could see Georgia winning this game like 24 to nothing or 27 to nothing or 24 to three. But they have no offense, zero offense, pathetic. And I don't know how Florida can move the ball against Georgia. That's the key to this game for me.
Right. Now I could see that kind of playing out, but I also think that as the Florida defense, stays on the field basically the entire game, I could see that playing out. I think the dam will break in the second half. If you thought the death, if McElwain thought the death threats were bad, wait till this game comes. I like Georgia 38, Florida 7.
Oh, nice. I love it. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe this will be that much of a blowout because you remember what happened in the Tennessee game when they played Georgia, and several others who can't score. That's kind of what you run into when you play them. Your defense ends up getting worn out. And so that could all happen to Florida. I don't think it's going to be that bad. Like Georgia, I don't think Florida scores a touchdown. I'll go Georgia 31 to 3. That's going to be my pick here.
And for some reason, also, for the life of me, I can't understand, but Florida has just been talking and talking all week as if, they're the dominant favorite team. I don't know how much, bulletin board material Georgia really needs in this game, but I just can't see that playing in Florida's favor at all.
Always talks, that's part of what Florida does, and that's fine. A lot of times they can back it up, but in this game, I don't see it with the Gators. I really don't. I think Georgia's far and away a better football team, and I think we will see that on the field reflected in the final score Saturday. Now, you know, the thing we keep hearing about this series, everybody talks about how Florida has just dominated it, and it's they've won, what, 21 of the last 27. They've won three in a row, but this Florida team and this Georgia team, just complete opposite ends of the spectrum from what we've seen the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go to the 4 o'clock game on SEC Network, Vanderbilt at South Carolina. I thought the line would be South Carolina minus 13. You said South Carolina minus 11, and it was actually opened up at South Carolina minus 7.
Okay, well.
So you got that one.
I guess technically I got that one. I just kind of went under what you said.
you prices-righted me again.
Yeah, I think what we need to start doing to make this fair is I need to send you the lines first, like every other week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just kind of alternate it. Because what happens is, I mean, I usually think for myself on these. Like, we disagree on a lot of them. But I always, though, I will notice your line. And if I don't know what to think on it, I'll be like, no, Mike says minus 13. I'm like, I'll go minus 11. You know what I mean? Like, so if it's a game I don't really know what I'm thinking, sometimes I kind of lean with you, I think. So, and this is kind of one of those. I don't think either one of these teams are very good. But I could certainly see this being a single-digit game. What do you think?
Well, I just, you know, I haven't seen anything from Vanderbilt's defense since the third week of the season that says they're going to hold a team like South Carolina. Obviously, you know, South Carolina, you know, they're not firing at all cylinders on offense, especially since Deebo Samuel was lost for the season. But, you know, they've really got their running game going. I've been really impressed with them in the second half against Arkansas and then again on Tennessee. They've dominated the line of scrimmage in both those games. And I just didn't think that the South Carolina team, you know, had the depth and the players to do that. I think that's been one of the most surprising things in the SEC this entire season is just what Muschamp is getting out of his both of his lines, because not only are they not deep, but they've been getting guys hurt, and there's been no drop off there. So I think that bodes really well for not only their future, but obviously this season. The only troubling thing I've heard all this week, Muschamp is he keeps saying he's concerned that his team is going to overlook Vanderbilt, and they need this game to get to bowl eligible. And that's kind of a stark contrast coming into last season. I think a lot of people saw this South Carolina as the least talented team in the entire SEC, and now he's talking about potentially overlooking an SEC opponent. That kind of shows you how far they've come. So, you know, just based on those comments, maybe the practices are not quite where he wants them to be. So I like South Carolina to win this game, but I like Vanderbilt to actually cover. I'm going South Carolina 23, Vanderbilt 20.
I really like what you're thinking on this one, because here's the deal. Both of these teams coming off of a bye week, mm-hmm. and both, I think, will benefit from the bye week, but I think the bye week is going to benefit Vanderbilt a little bit more. This just seems kind of like a regroup situation for Vandy, because, I mean, God, poor Vanderbilt. You look at that stretch, Bama, Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss in four straight weeks, which Florida and Ole Miss aren't great, but to just have them sprinkled in there with Georgia and Alabama, like, that's an awful stretch. And I do think that Vanderbilt team that beat Kansas State is lying underneath there somewhere. I think they probably needed to recharge. They needed to rest up, get healthy, whatever. I think we're going to see a better Vanderbilt team come out on Saturday in this game. And I think that I still like South Carolina to win the game, because I think that they are just the better football team all around. But I'm with you. I think it's a very close game, probably a field goal game. And I like South Carolina to win, low scoring too, probably somewhere around 17-14.
All right, let's go to the next game. Missouri at Connecticut. That's a weird game, like just seeing an SEC team go to Connecticut. But I thought the line would be Missouri minus 5. You said Missouri minus 13. And you almost nailed it perfectly at opening. It opened at Missouri minus 12.
Yeah, now see, that was one of the ones I didn't just Price is Right you. Actually, I had my own opinion formed on that one. I thought, here's the deal. Connecticut, I'm sure you've already heard this week, but you know Connecticut has the worst pass defense in the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know that when I made my pick, but yeah, I have heard that this week, and obviously that's a terrible sign for them.
It is dead last, and if there's one thing Missouri can do, it's they can put points on the board against inferior secondaries. Like, Missouri's no good in the SEC, but Barry Odom, for some reason, he's just like, you know what? We're going to beat the hell out of this team that's not as good as it. Like, they'll put up 80 points if they can, mm-hmm. you know? So, now I know this one's on the road. I know UConn, fairly respectable out of the American Athletic Conference or whatever. I think that's where they're at. Yeah. But, you know, I looked over their scores, their schedule, a couple impressive wins. They beat Tulsa. But I like Missouri. I love Drew Locke. I think he'll throw for 600 yards and 7 touchdowns in this game. Mm-hmm. And I think one of my locks of the week, I think Missouri covers easily in this game. I like Missouri. Something big. Something like 70 to 28 or something like that.
Well, okay, I'm kind of right there with you. I didn't go that much, but I picked it Missouri 59, UConn 30. So that's still nearly a 30-point spread in my opinion. So that it should be no issue there. But, you know, two things. You know, we keep talking about these coaches on the hot seat. One guy we've not really brought up a whole lot is Barry Odom. And I'm wondering if – I don't know if you saw the comments from his AD, but somebody asked him this week, you know, I believe they asked him, will Barry Odom be back next year is essentially what they asked. And he said, you know, I would imagine he would, you know, but things can happen. And that – I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to take that. I mean, what does that mean, like losing out? Or I just don't know. What do you take from comments like that?
Well, I think if I'm Barry Odom, I'm like, what the hell, man? What are you, like, why are you doing this to me? Like, I'm already under enough pressure, and then you want to hang that little nugget over me, you know? Like, poor Barry Odom trying to build a football program in Columbia, Missouri. I take it as, you know, maybe I think Missouri needs to see a little bit of, just a little bit of substance. You know, I think the AD recognizes probably how bad the talent is there and how much Barry Odom is still trying to build. But you've got to see something other than wins over Idaho and Missouri State. They need to knock off Tennessee or Florida at home, beat Vanderbilt or Arkansas. Like grab a couple, steal a couple SEC games, and I think we'll look at Missouri in a much better light.
And, you know, it's interesting to note, Barry Odom has the lowest buyout in the SEC. So he's got his buyouts less than $2 million. So if they do make a decision, that would be well within any SEC school's price range to make a move. And one other thing on Missouri here, I don't know if you saw this earlier this afternoon, but LSU yesterday, they offered a scholarship to a quarterback named James Foster. He was Missouri's first commit. He's a, you know, a well-regarded quarterback, as someone I think they were pinpointing could replace Drew Locke down the line. And as soon as LSU offered him, he decommitted. And not only did he decommit, a former quarterback, Marvin Zanders, who was on the team last year, tweeted out, you know, that's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. And it's just like what in the world's going on at Missouri if, you know, you never want to see these former players congratulating a guy from walking away from the program, you know?
Yeah, really. Or Mizzou, man. They're like, they are the weakest team of conference. Missouri is basically the runt of the SEC. And I do feel bad for them because, I mean, they came in at a time, you know, where they were still strong. And Gary Pinkel, and, you know, they weren't that far removed from that team that was winning or getting to – they get to the Orange Bowl. You remember back in the day when they had that showdown with Kansas, number one versus number two?
Yeah.
It was around 08, 07, 08, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, like, they had a tradition of winning that was pretty good after that. And Gary Pinkel, I thought he was great for Missouri. And, just since then, it hasn't been the same, and they're very much irrelevant.
Yeah, and I think much like Nebraska, moving to a new conference made a lot of sense for the school. They're probably making significantly more money, but it's kind of cut them off from their natural recruiting base. They can't draw from the Midwest much anymore. They certainly can't draw from Texas. And I think that was essentially their biggest pull. And they're kind of in no man's land. From what I understand, they're trying to hit Georgia pretty hard in recruiting. But, I mean, goodness, driving from Tennessee to Missouri, it takes basically all day. I couldn't imagine driving from Georgia. So I don't know how that situation gets much better.
Yeah, and it's Missouri, just an awful place to live. So I don't know why you would ever, like, if you're a high school football player, I don't know why you would ever want to go there. But anyway, I hope they do get it figured out one of these days.
All right, on that depressing note, I think this is going to be this is the SEC game I'm most looking forward to this week. It's 7:15 kickoff on ESPN, Mississippi State at Texas A&M. I thought A&M would be favored by 8. You said A&M by 4.5, and it actually opened at A&M minus 1.5. So you got that one.
Okay, so it was 1.5. Yeah, I thought that game was going to be, I didn't really know how it opened up, but I do think that's the kind of game that has the potential to be a very close game. Now, if it was in Starkville, I think I would really lean toward Mississippi State there, but at Kyle Field, this is a Texas A&M. I think what we're looking at here, I think these are two teams that have been undervalued this season. I think Texas A&M has been very underrated since, ever since they lost to UCLA the way that they did. I think they've gotten a lot of unearned disrespect. I think that Texas A&M is going to finish strong. I think Kevin Sumlin's going to have, I think he's going to keep his job. Anyway, I think Mississippi State, kind of similar, because they got blown out the way they did by Auburn, and we all just kind of wrote them off. I think these are still two pretty good SEC West teams. I think they could compete with LSU for sure, either one, the third best team in that division.
Now, I like how you're calling people out for jumping off the Mississippi State bandwagon when I believe you were touting that team more than
Well,
anyone and jumped off just as fast.
yeah, but that's what I do.
When I caution people that, obviously, yeah, they lost big to Georgia, lost big to Auburn, but I got a lot of respect for both of those teams, and I don't necessarily think that, much like you were saying, I don't necessarily think that means Mississippi State is a bad team. And we should mention that Texas A&M was favored when it opened, but actually Mississippi State is the favorite now. So it's kind of rare that you see that full swing there. But I lean towards Texas A&M in this one. I think the Aggies, they're such a young team. They're a different team at home. We saw what the crowd was able to do for them when they played Alabama. They really manned up in that game. The crowd won them that South Carolina game at home. So I like A&M in this one. I think Mississippi State is much like A&M. They're a different team on the road. They don't have that cowbell support. And this is two interesting teams because I think they're very similar in style. They're not going to really get you with the passing game all that much. It's mostly defense, special teams, and running the ball. But one key figure in this game, anytime I watch Mississippi State, if they get behind on the sticks, they really can't convert because they just don't have the downfield weapons. And Nick Fitzgerald, I mean, as great as he is, he's still very questionable from time to time throwing the ball. And Texas A&M has they have more sacks than any team in the SEC. So that's going to be a key area to watch here. And I like Texas A&M to win, but I'm taking them only by 1 point. So I think this is going to be a really good game. I'll go Texas A&M 24, Mississippi State 23.
And Mississippi State, actually talking about those sacks, they have allowed the fewest sacks in the SEC. So that's one of those situations there, kind of where something's got to give. Although I think I love Nick Fitzgerald. I think he's an underrated quarterback in this league. I think he's one of the SEC's better quarterbacks, not just because of his running ability, but I like his arm too. With that said, I think A&M's defensive line will win the battle against Mississippi State's O-line. I think they will get after them. A&M, as you mentioned, they are much better at home. And another factor in this game, A&M will be coming off of its bye week, mm-hmm. whereas Mississippi State has played now, what, 8 weeks in a row, or 7 weeks?
They had a bye 2 weekends ago.
That's it. They've already had their bye. So it'll be a factor. But Mississippi State has played 2 games in a row, whereas A&M should be a little bit fresher coming in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the final SEC game of the weekend is a 7:30 kickoff on the SEC Network, Tennessee at Kentucky.
Woo!
I was surprised how low this line was. I thought Kentucky would be favored by 9 points. You said Kentucky by 3, and it actually opened up at Kentucky -5.5, so you get that one. And the line has since shifted down to 3.5.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I don't know, man. I thought Vegas would say, you know, Kentucky's at home, 2 really bad teams. Give Kentucky a field goal. That's the only reason I said Kentucky -3. Honestly, this is one of those games that just – hard for me to predict anything with Tennessee, because when I look at these two teams, I see that Tennessee is clearly more talented. Just, you know, you base it on star ratings, whatever. Tennessee, a clearly more talented team, but you keep hearing people say that, right? Mm-hmm. And the development is just not there with Tennessee. So Tennessee's banged up. They don't have a lot of depth. But then I look at the fact that Mississippi State just beat Kentucky 45-7, and you're like, I just think these are two really bad teams. It's in Lexington. I think Tennessee will find a way to win the game just because that's what Tennessee does against Kentucky. Kentucky will find a way to screw it up. It's just one of those deals, you know. It's kind of like Tennessee versus Florida. So I think both teams are really bad. I'm going to lean with Tennessee probably by a field goal, something god-awful, like 24-21 or something.
Okay, yeah, so we're right on there, because I've actually got Tennessee winning this one too. I'm going Tennessee 23-20. You know, Kentucky just, you know, I've not been very impressed with them here lately. Obviously, they got blown out. They got dominated on the line of scrimmage. You know, this could be a game where they kind of, you know, maybe take the frustrations out on Tennessee. I could certainly see that. You know, I think that John Kelly suspension, you know, I think that's certainly significant. I think he could have had a really big game here. But, you know, I like some of the backs Tennessee has behind him. You know, for whatever reason, I just think that Jerry Garantano will have, you know, a much better game. It was tough going against Alabama, but he showed me a lot just with his toughness there. It seemed like he never blinked. I assume you saw the tweet from his dad, you know, kind of not necessarily calling out Alabama, but just saying that, you know, my son is ready. And, you know, a lot of people mock that, but, you know, I don't see many other people, you know, essentially saying that against Alabama in their first career start. So I kind of.
LeVar Ball would say that for his son.
Well, yeah. But there's basically nothing that guy won't say, you know.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, you know, I like the quarterback to have that mindset. And obviously I would assume that, you know, his son has the same mindset. I've heard, you know, his comments this week. It doesn't seem like he's shaken at all. It seems like, if anything, he's gained confidence from going up against Alabama. And I don't know. I think it's starting to come together with him. And I like for Garantano to have a big game, Tennessee to make one or two big plays, and just enough to get this thing done.
I like Jared Garantano a lot. I agree with you on that. And I do think that this will be a win for Tennessee. It's just so hard for me to judge this Tennessee team because of the things going on in the locker room and how it's just such a bad feeling around the fan base and everything. It's just so much negativity over here. Like, I just wonder. I don't wonder, but I don't know what to think about Tennessee. honestly. So I could see this going either way, but I do think Tennessee should be the best football team in this game. So I'll give them the edge for now.
You know what? Also, that's one thing I forgot to mention. A lot of people are not fully aware that Kentucky is having their own issues in the locker room. I don't know if you saw in the post game following the loss to Mississippi State. I mean, the coach was just like screaming and cussing at the players. They've been on social media calling out their coaches. I mean, things are not going well at Kentucky. As we've mentioned, they just got blown out to Mississippi State. They shouldn't have lost that Florida game. I think this is a team that is mentally weak, and the fan base, they seem to be kind of caught up on all that. They, from what I've heard from Kentucky people all week, is they're still not sold on Mark Stoops. This is year five for him. He's never beaten Florida. He's never beaten Georgia. He's never beaten Tennessee. And that's kind of how they're judging it on whether he'll get the job done. And I just could see this unraveling quickly on Kentucky.
Yeah. I think this one, I think we could see either of those situations here. I think this is one where you can definitely play the flip side of the card on either one, because Tennessee's situation is definitely unraveling. But anyway, that should be a fun one to watch. I'm kind of with you on the Mississippi State A&M game. I think that will be the best game to watch, although I'll probably be most intrigued by Florida-Georgia just because it's Florida-Georgia, but, I expect it to be over by halftime. So any other thoughts this weekend?
No, but, like you were, that Florida-Georgia game, something always funky always happens in that game. It'll be interesting to see if Georgia can get over that hump, and because, this might sound crazy to say, but I think of all the coaches in the SEC this week, I think Georgia Kirby Smart has the most to lose this week, because if he loses this game, I think that seriously halts some momentum. If he can't beat this Florida team, I think it's going to start becoming a mental thing with, like, when are they going to beat Florida? Now, obviously, I think they're going to crush the Gators, but this is going to be one where if they drop it, they got a really underrated game coming up the next week against South Carolina. Then they travel to Auburn and they finish up obviously with Georgia Tech. This is a scary game, I think, for Georgia. The fans, the fans are not confident at all from what I've seen all week. So I caution people to just watch out for that game. Something usually always crazy happens in this game, and it wouldn't shock me if Florida somehow did something wild to win this one.
What's Georgia end up 8-4? Like, we all think that there's nothing I love more than when we all think we know what's going on. We know Georgia's a really good team. We know Georgia's gonna meet Alabama and Atlanta. And then what if they just went 8-4, just lost four of their last five? That's my that is my absolute favorite thing about football. It's my favorite thing about SEC football.
And then if that happened, it'd be Will Muschamp and Nick Saban in the title game more than likely. And that'd be something.
That'd be quite a mismatch. I doubt that's gonna case, but we'll see. That's why we talk about it every week, because there's always something that throws us off. So it'd be a good weekend here once again, Mike. Anything else closing out here?
No, just ready to watch more SEC action.
Me too, man. We will talk about it on Sunday night. Thank you to everyone for tuning into this episode, and again, our apologies for not getting the early week episode earlier, but this one was a little longer, so please enjoy it. Hopefully Monday this weekend, or if you don't, just enjoy the football games. We will talk to you again very soon for episode 23. This has been episode for SEC Mike. I'm Cody McClure. See you guys next time.